So we wanted to have Rochelle in to talk about the closing of the dialysis unit at Winona Health, and then subsequently the announcement that the dialysis unit will not close because Winona Health received a $3 million grant to keep the dialysis unit up and running for at least 3 years. Rochelle, can you just take the listeners through this process? You know, what happened? There was only, like you said, about a week and a half between the announcement of the closing and then the announcement of the donation coming in. Take us through this process and kind of what happened here.
Sure. Yeah. So, you know, healthcare is kind of coming out of COVID has been a real struggle. You know, costs are going up, reimbursements are going down, and inflation and all of the issues, right? So, you know, we've been working really hard over this last year to figure out where we could bring costs down. We've been evaluating everything, and including services. So this wasn't, you know, kind of a quick decision. We've been evaluating since really last summer this particular program. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it was a lot of angst going into it. But ultimately, and we had evaluated, is there any other way that we could keep this program locally in the community? Were there any partnerships we could do? Would anybody else come in and operate this program just to keep it in the community without us, you know, mm-hmm. type of thing? So we could not come up with another solution and ultimately decided we needed to close it because we were losing $1 million a year. Our volumes had been going down and so forth. So the decision was made, and we communicated that then to our staff and our patients in dialysis. As you said, it was about a week and a half before the other thing happened. Mm-hmm. So we were pretty well in the process. You know, dialysis is a life-sustaining treatment, so people come in three times a week for that treatment. So you have to move pretty fast to make sure that there's another place that they can go and those transitions can happen. And so we were pretty far down that path. And, I had a conversation on a whole different topic with the donors, and happened to reference dialysis and the closing of that, and you know, the issues in healthcare, and as an example. Mm-hmm. And they asked a lot of questions about, well, you know, could the state change something with the payment? But this is actually a Medicare program. And what about equipment? And what about this? And what about that? And, you know, what are the hardships, you know, for some of these patients? And so they were really they were really heartfelt about this this change, and you know, and we talked about the alternatives, and there really aren't any, and you know, so I didn't expect anything. It was just a conversation about all of that. And the next morning I got a call, and I was told, you know, if you can reverse your decision, you know, we would like to make this donation to Winona Health to keep the program open and help our local residents. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, I need to get off this phone because I have to stop the process if that's the case. So mm-hmm. We were able to do that.
How long were discussions going on about closing the dialysis unit? And had you communicated with some of your dialysis patients before the announcement became public so that they were able to prepare for this?
We were talking about a lot of things, you know, since last year, because mm-hmm. Just again, you know, 2/3 of hospitals in Minnesota lost money in 2023. That's really what the state of healthcare is in Minnesota. And we had hoped that the legislature, with the, you know, kind of the budget windfall that they had last year, would actually put some dollars out there to help, you know, Medicaid program and some other kinds of things. And mm-hmm. really they did nothing to help any of that. So, you know, all hospitals have been looking at programs and services. We have lost long-term care facilities across the state. We've lost services. We've lost units. We've lost a lot of different things. And we have been trying here in Winona really to keep a lot of these, you know, open. But we subsidize a lot of programs. Mm-hmm. So last year, really all of last year, we were looking at everything. Yeah. We were looking at administrative costs. We were looking at every program. We're looking at every service. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in all of that, you know, no, we did not go out and talk to, you know, specific patients about any of these things. It was really more around, you know, looking at, you know, volumes, looking at what are all other alternatives, you know, that we could do. Mm-hmm. You know, where are things shifting towards? Because sometimes, you know, even in dialysis, home dialysis is a growing phenomenon, you know, with technology. And so that was one of the issues, you know, that had come out with other parties is more people are going to home dialysis than they are going into units. And so, and there's some good things about that, but, you know, we're kind of in this in-between stage.
Yeah.
So.
Is that something that a lot of people can afford with home dialysis? Is that usually subsidized as well?
You know, we don't provide that. It's, I think it's a different setup. The payment doesn't change with dialysis because it's a fixed fee, you know, through Medicare, but you don't have all of the staffing, the same way, but you have, so you're doing it yourself or you have maybe somebody in your home that's helping you. So it's probably going to be a lesser cost, you know, to do that sort of setup. So it's, I think in the long haul, it probably costs a lot less, you know, but it's a newer technology.
When you look at the dialysis unit in particular with Winona Health, is that a profitable unit? Do you guys profit from dialysis patients?
No, we lost $1 million on that unit last year.
So you've been losing $1 million just last year on that unit. So, so it is not a... From just purely a profitable point of view, you guys aren't even able to break even with the dialysis unit.
Correct.
But what is the solution then long term for this? Because as you said, a lot of Minnesota hospitals operating in the red. Mm-hmm. I think rural healthcare in general is struggling lately, not just here in Minnesota. It's really a nationwide phenomenon that we see. What is the solution from your point of view? You know, you've been in healthcare in this position for more than two decades. What do we do? What has changed? What is the solution going forward, Rochelle?
That's
it's probably a longer answer than
you know,
we have here,
I mean,
but
yeah, there isn't, you know, there really isn't one solution. You know, the healthcare system that we have here in the US is fundamentally based on something as simple as the many pay for the few, meaning you know, we all contribute in, you know, taxes for, you know, Medicare, for example, and Medicaid, right?
Uh-huh.
So those are the public programs,
right,
of the state, federal government. And then also on the commercial side, if we have insurance. And what has happened with the demographics, you know, the aging of America and things like that, we've been tipped over now where it's really like the few are supporting the many. And so really what's happened in Minnesota, and this is reflected here locally and really across the country, is our revenues are now, 66% coming from public programs. It's not balanced anymore,
mm-hmm.
right? So in that case, when we get paid less than cost,
right.
So Medicare and Medicaid pay less than cost, and 66% of our revenue comes from those programs. We're upside down before we ever, you know, get up in the morning.
So the public programs need to be funded more.
Yes.
That would be
a
good place to start.
Yeah. So, for example, last year in the legislature, we were asking, we're still based on 2019 costs. We wanted rebasing for Medicaid to be updated so that it wouldn't be 68 cents on the dollar of cost, that there would be an update and, it, you know, it would kind of have its fair share.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing passed.
Mm-hmm.
So we, and you think about what things cost in 2019 to what they cost now.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no place to pass that on. You know, we can't pass it on to employers. They can't afford, you know, increases with, you know, their premiums. So this is, it's a system that doesn't work anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, you know, everybody is, things are failing. And this doesn't matter. I mean, rural, I think, feels it first because we don't have as big a buffer zone,
mm-hmm.
but the large systems are in no better shape.
Yeah. Are bigger healthcare systems, you know, like Mayo and places like that, are they experiencing this as well, or do they have more, like you said, of a buffer or more, I guess, just financial resources to kind of mitigate these kind of things?
Well, I think the larger systems, you know, may have a little bit more time. Although I would tell you, you go up to the Twin Cities or, you know, well, really any of the systems, and I think they're all struggling. It's a, you know, they might tell you it's a matter of how many zeros do you put it, you know, behind the number, but you still have brackets. And if you just look up to the news recently, it came right after we announced our dialysis, two hospitals are closing up in Eau Claire.
Right.
You know, they just pulled out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that there are, you know, many that are on the brink. We're really fortunate in Winona. We have a strong balance sheet. We've been really good stewards of our resources. And we're not trying to make huge profits. We don't, if we can break even, we think that's really great. We know we need to, you know, we're not for profit and we can subsidize and we're good stewards. But this, where things are in the healthcare system of the U.S. right now, the financing is not aligned any longer with, you know, care delivery.
Will you all, as a healthcare system, as Winona Health, obviously the legislature is coming back into session here very soon. Do you all, you know, communicate much with the legislature? Do you lobby at the legislature for maybe, you know, changing some things, getting more funding into some of these public programs? Will you guys be involved much there on the state government level?
Yeah, I spent a fair amount of time last year testifying at several committees on several bills. I had also had many small meetings with some of the chairs of different committees and legislators. You know, shout out to Gene Pawlowski and Jerry Miller, because they have been, you know, really great supporters and listeners around, you know, different issues and things like that, and been advocates for us. I am the chair of the Minnesota Hospital Association board this year, so I know I will be up in front of the legislature again and certainly be advocating. You know, we feel that, you know, all that money was spent last year and none of it really went to healthcare. And, you know, now, you know, we've got this dire situation. And I think, you know, as the state looks around, particularly in the long-term care setting, and we've lost long-term care facilities and all of that backs up into hospitals. You know, something needs to happen, and we feel like they need to put some funding, you know, towards that. It may be a tough haul this year, because I know it's not a budget year.
Right.
But, you know, we'll be up there anyway advocating.
Rochelle Schultz is our guest. She is the president and CEO of Winona Health. We're talking about the donation that was given to Winona Health, $3 million to keep its dialysis unit open after there was an announcement prior to that the dialysis unit would be closing, but it now will stay open. So, Rochelle, the $3 million donation, anonymous donation of $3 million will keep the program open for, you hope, 3 years or longer. What happens after that?
Well, our hope is that, you know, this has given us some breathing space that, you know, we can, you know, look at being able to sort of mitigate what those losses are right now. We can maybe do some, you know, restructuring. We may be looking at, you know, could we do some home dialysis maybe and all of that. Those are all questions now for us, and we've got some time to, you know, look at all of that, advocate as we were talking about. Maybe there'll be some changes, you know, in that regard. So those are things that are on our docket to sort of look at and see what we can do.
As of right now, are you retaining all of your workers in the dialysis unit?
Yes. Even as we had, you know, looked at the closure, all of the staff were staying in different positions, which was great, because we do have, you know, with the workforce issues that are out there, we had openings, and they're all great people. And I was thrilled that they were taking other positions. But there, actually, I think a couple are going to stay with the positions that they were going to move to, which was, you know, that's wonderful. And that helps us actually get started on some of the other changes that we're looking to make.
How worried are you that, you know, like you said, we've talked about some of the challenges of rural hospitals and just healthcare in general, the way it is now. How worried are you that, you know, the almost closing of the dialysis unit, is this, or could it be kind of a domino effect that we will see smaller health systems like this be forced to close units, these kind of specialized units and things like that? Is that something that you worry about as you, you know, kind of look into your crystal ball and try to kind of, you know, wonder about the future? Because that's what you have to do. You know, you have to look ahead and wonder about, you know, how healthcare will change, how it will ebb and flow as you go forward. That's your job. You know, is it worrisome to you that we could see things like this? This could just be, you know, a tip of the iceberg or a domino effect where this will be an issue going forward with other specialized units.
Yeah. You know, I would say that this is already happening in big hospitals and small. And I would say it's happening because of the workforce issue primarily, right? So as we saw all of the changes happen over the, you know, kind of that COVID time period as we came out. And now, you know, the pipelines kind of got shut off, you know, for, and we talk about nursing a lot, but it's not just nursing. It's kind of really across the board. But units have closed. I mean, you know, we lost 1,000 hospital beds in the state of Minnesota. So units closed. And so hospitals say we're full, we're on diversion. And we think, oh, they're full from like before. No, they're full because they have less beds that they can even staff. You know, we've lost 30% of nursing home beds across the state. And so when nursing homes say they're full because they have less beds, because they can't staff them. There are already OB units, you know, almost every OB unit in rural, you know, Minnesota has closed because they can't staff them and because you can't get OB, you know, OB doctors out to them.
Right.
It's already happened and or happening. I think there's already lists that hospitals have of services and or units that are like, if we can't either get staff and or if we can't get something changing, you know, with the reimbursement structure, you know, they're going to do that. So I think it's more than worrisome. I think that there's plans already in place and that is limiting access. And I think people, and I know people in Winona, because we hear it from patients, from, you know, as they're, you know, talking about, you know, specialty things. They have, you know, I can't get into an appointment out until April with a specialist someplace. You know, I can't get an appointment out until, you know, June. Those are access issues, and those are because there isn't, you know, a workforce. And so things have really, you know, kind of consolidated down, if you will, or access is very limited.
Right.
And that's not just rural. That's the, you know, that's the bigs and the smalls.
Right. We'll have to leave it there. Thank you, Rochelle, so much for coming in. And congratulations, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you to our donors. We are so grateful.